We'll now hear argument in the third case.
Thank you, Your Honor.
88618 Wilpit versus Innovative Warehouse in response.
If it pleases the court, I would first of all like to express the regrets of Mr. Matheny, who represented the family in this matter. He has taken suddenly ill and asked me to appear on his behalf, and I thank you for the privilege of allowing me to do so. As this court knows from reading the briefs, the facts in this case are truly uncontested. On April 13, 2000, Mr. Wilcott was involved in an accident that nobody disputes would have been compensable under the compensation law. He sustained fairly serious injuries consisting mostly of facial lacerations and a scalping injury to his scalp, and as you know, that's a highly vascularized part of the body, so he bled a lot. Mr. Wilcott also happened to be a Jehovah's Witness. He was admitted to the hospital the day of the accident. He informed the hospital himself that he was a Jehovah's Witness, and he requested that he not be transfused with whole blood. Throughout the course of the hospitalization, as the insurance carrier will tell you, they repeatedly requested that he be transfused, and he and then his family repeatedly indicated that that would violate his credence, his beliefs, and his religion, because the transfusion would interfere with the ability to pray, and prayer is necessary for salvation. And if you look at the respondent's statement of facts, I would direct your attention to page 21, with a quote from the transcript, that it was uncontested that the transfusion of blood is a process that interferes with prayer. The medical evidence appears to be pretty clear that because of the transfusion, he ultimately went into cardiac failure, and because of that, he died approximately 7 days later.
According to the statute, according to 287.140.5, we've got to decide whether or not this refusal was an unreasonable refusal. Are we looking at this subjectively or objectively?
Well, I believe that there is only two things that need to be determined. The trier of fact has to determine whether or not the refusal is unreasonable in the context of the particular case. And there are a number of tests that have been set out in the case law that are pretty clear. Is the medical treatment reasonable and reasonably efficacious, weighed against the medical risk of a particular procedure to cure a particular or relieve a particular medical condition? And then there is, of course, this part of the statute that says that the employer, unless they object, which they did not do in this case, cannot interfere with the employee's right to spiritual healing and prayer.
Now, the determination of unreasonableness, there are other laws that say you cannot be a danger to yourself or others.
That's
so
correct.
So if that would have run afoul of that law, the courts could order him to get a blood transfusion. Follow me on this. A blood transfusion, but that's not the case because the law protects someone's religious freedom. So you cannot, the courts could not order him to get a blood transfusion. Now, there are other issues about children, but they could not order him to get a blood transfusion. So the question of reasonableness or unreasonableness could be handled in another court of law, another situation. And the doctors are there weighing this with the family, and the courts have upheld that that distinction. How are we to say the workers' comp law can interfere with that? In essence, the employer takes the employee almost eggshell skull. The employer takes the employee as they are. So if the Jehovah's Witnesses as employees and they get injured, the employer takes that employee as they are.
Your Honor, I agree with that 100%, and I also don't believe that the refusal to accept a blood transfusion of whole blood, there's no evidence that he refused any other transfusion to replace volume or blood substitutes or other medications that would have increased the oxygenation of his blood, which was apparently the physiological problem with his blood gas exchange, why he became ischemic. You take your employee as you hire them.
There may be alternatives, like in some other hospitals, there might be some experimental ways or other ways to do it without whole blood. And maybe that's a case against the hospital, but no one, that's not before us. We have the workers' comp.
All those, yeah, the only case before is this gentleman, according to the doctors at St. Francis Medical Center in Cape Girardeau, said he needed a blood transfusion if he wanted to have a reasonable likelihood of surviving. That was their medical opinion. The evidence is pretty clear that that continued to be the medical opinion, though there's also some evidence in the record that there are, in fact, blood substitutes that are available. If you read the record carefully, which I actually did, you will find that the family was requesting that blood substitutes be used. So this guy was willing to be transfused, simply not with whole blood.
And they did not do that?
Well, at the end, on the sixth day of his hospitalization, Dr. Sherrock says, oh, okay, I guess we can give him some Epogen. Now,
but blood workers' comp doesn't provide for intervening, quote-unquote, unless there's any, we're not making any determination of malpractice, it does not provide for if you go to a hospital and they treat the person differently prescribed and the person dies, the workers' comp still covers it. It's not a question of what the medical treatment is. It really is what's happened to the employee. It's a no-fault law, and so the workers should know.
I would agree that under this case it was a no-fault law, though it's certainly not no longer a no-fault law under the current manifestation of the statute.
This is not what I'm dealing with.
Counsel, I have a question. You're talking about 287.140.9 that says, nothing in this chapter shall prevent an employee from being provided treatment for his injuries by prayer or spiritual means if the employer does not object to the treatment. The Court of Appeals majority, although they found that it was reasonable to refuse treatment based on religious beliefs, did not rely on this section. They seemed to think it was an all or nothing. You have to refuse all medical treatment and only use prayer. And they said because all medical treatment was not refused, they really didn't address this
well,
subsection. Your argument, I took it from your brief, was otherwise of the belief of your client that it would interfere with the effectiveness of prayer if they had this transfusion and the employer did not object to the refusal, that this provision applies.
That's correct. There's nothing in that section that says that it has to be you can only pray over the individual or you have to treat them with, quote, Western medical science or Chinese or Eastern medical practice. I mean, it doesn't make that distinction. It's facially neutral. It simply says that they cannot prohibit prayer and spiritual means of healing unless the employer objects. And there's no objection, so that's not a relevant issue in this case either. The fact is they could have objected, and they could have said transfusing.
In essence, though, you're talking about an accident. They're in the emergency room. They're dealing with all this. The first person you call is not the workers' comp employment's lawyer to say, are you going to come in the hospital room and object or not object?
One would hope not, but the insurance industry in this state jealously guards its right to control the medical delivered to injured workers.
And in fact, in this case, the employer was there and knew about the fact that they were refusing transfusions and did not object. Is that correct?
And they didn't make any objection.
But doesn't this statute, the one about prayer or spiritual means, as Judge Romine said in his dissent, isn't that just giving permission or approval to the employee to pray if he wish?
Yes, but you can't pray if your ability to pray is being impaired by a whole blood transfusion.
Or prayer in lieu of medical treatment. It authorizes prayer in lieu of medical treatment.
No, I believe it authorizes medical treatment and prayer.
Right, but
and spiritual means.
Right.
It's not, the statute does not say that the employee has a right to only be treated with prayer and spiritual means to the exclusion of all medical care.
Counsel, I think it's a friendly comment. The point being that obviously whether or not the employer can't forbid you from praying, that would certainly be a First Amendment violation. So there must be some purpose to the statute other than saying it's because its purpose can't be to take away your right to have prayer unless the employer agrees. It must be to say prayer in lieu of medical treatment.
A moment of legislative history that usually is put in at the behest of the Christian Scientists who do substitute prayer for other medical care.
One can read the statute that way, Your Honor, but it doesn't say this is the Christian Science.
It doesn't say all or nothing, whatever the reason was, it might have been put in.
But that's probably a better example of it than the Jehovah's Witness. And the question, I suppose, that occurs to me about that is that if indeed it is proved that with a transfusion he would not have died, then why would one cut off the remedy in workers' compensation? Because wouldn't that also entitle you to have proof that he would have lived and he would have had a certain period of disability, for which is a because this was, no question, a compensable injury, right?
I don't believe there's any dispute that this is a compensable injury.
But this was a complete denial of compensation, was it not?
Correct. And not only is it a complete denial, you will see in their brief that they want their money back. They want their money back from the widow. To me, this is a pretty straightforward case. You know, one of the complaints they're saying is that this is an invasion of religious doctrine and a determination.
We had a similar case in the Eastern District where a person was injured, severely injured, and the family, after great anxiety, turned off the life support. And the insurance company said, well, that's not a wrongful death. The family killed their loved one, and therefore they shouldn't get a wrongful death. What if they had said, what if the family said, no, we do not want life support turned off, and the insurance company has to cover it for years and years and years? I think you got to leave something to common sense.
Well, there are some things that need to be left to common sense, but the issue here is that this man never rejected any medical treatment other than a whole blood transfusion. And, this to me is not a First Amendment free exercise case. They say, oh, you have to go in and make a determination as to the doctrine. Well, if you're dealing with a Roman Catholic priest and a confession in a criminal case, then you have to make a decision whether, A, the guy who heard it was a Roman Catholic priest, and B, whether or not they have confession. There's a confessional exception for statements made to a priest. We make evidentiary accommodations to religious doctrine. I mean, we close down our courts and our government and our legislatures on Christmas Day. We don't close them down on Eid. We don't close them down on the Hajj. We don't close them down on Rosh Hashanah, though I will tell you that it's very hard to find a Jewish lawyer, at least in St. Louis, to try a case with you on either Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah. All I'm saying,
make the other statements in rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, Your Honors. First of all, counsel states that the only medical treatment that the employee and his family refused was that of whole blood transfusion. That is correct. But the medical evidence is clear and uncontroverted. Only a whole blood transfusion in this situation would have saved the employee's life. Yes, there were alternatives, such as Epogen. And the employee's wife asked that Epogen be used. However, the testimony is clear. Even claimant's own experts stated that a blood substitute such as Epogen would take a great deal of time to replace lost blood volume. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Go ahead. Finish your
statement. And there would not be sufficient time in this case for that blood substitute to work. Both the treating and examining physicians were in agreement here that the only course of medical treatment that would work was that of a blood transfusion.
Counsel, under 287.140.9, say we had Seventh-day Adventist or Christian, someone who believes solely in the power of prayer or healing,
yes,
and so forth. Doesn't this provide for that and says that basically they can recover in that situation had they refused this treatment as long as the employer did not object?
Well, Your Honor, 287.140.9 does, in fact, provide for treatment by prayer or spiritual means. I read that section as requiring that the employee forsake medical treatment for prayer or spiritual means.
Well, that's exactly what they did by saying, I'm going to rely on prayer instead of having a blood transfusion.
With all due respect, Your Honor, there is absolutely no evidence of that in the record.
Did the employer object? Did the employer object?
No, Your Honor, he didn't, and I will tell you why. Because for two reasons. Number one, as one of Your Honors said, it is a First Amendment right to pray, and we really couldn't. But more importantly, within the context of Section 287.140.9, the employee did not choose to treat his work-related injuries by prayer or spiritual means.
Counsel,
What I was trying to get to with my question before is, well, you are indeed reading in that it has to be treated solely by prayer, but that's not what it says.
No, Your Honor, I am reading into that. There are no real cases that interpret what that.
But there's the language of the statute, and it doesn't say you can choose solely prayer or spiritual means, or you can choose medical treatment. Apparently, it's the employer's whim. The employer can't stop someone from praying. Its purpose can't be to permit prayer. I don't see why it has to be all or nothing. If you take an aspirin, then this section has no application. Is the effect of the position you've taken in your brief?
Well, Your Honor, in this case, I don't even think we have to get all or nothing. There is no evidence that they ever, as I say, resorted to any religious means in addition
Counsel, his wife said that she believed that if they took the whole, because the suggestion has been, which seems to me interfering with religion, that he should have done what he believed in his religion was sin, because then he could atone for it, because the religion allowed for atonement. And his wife said no, that they believed it would interfere with the healing effect of prayer should they sin by getting a transfusion. How can the state come in and say that's not a reasonable religious belief without interfering?
I'm not saying it's a reasonable or unreasonable belief, and in fact, we presume that the employee's beliefs are valid and sincere, and we submit that this court must.
And doesn't the state, and hasn't the legislature, by enacting this provision saying if the employer agrees, then you can rely on prayer, basically said that it's a subjective issue, that considering religious objections is reasonable, and in this circumstance they balanced it and said it is a relevant consideration, and they said it's reasonable if the employer doesn't object. They've made that balance.
Well, Your Honor, in a situation where prayer or spiritual means were resorted to, but again, there's no evidence of any of that in the record, and I would submit to Your Honors.
You're saying that there's no evidence that those people were praying for that fellow after he went through all the other medical treatment and then...
Your Honor, his wife and at least two of his sons testified, and they did not offer testimony. Now, that may well have occurred, but that testimony is absent in this record. Moreover, what we are dealing with here...
They said they believed it would interfere with prayer. You had to. What did they have to do?
Well, they were testifying about what Jehovah's Witnesses believed.
And why they refused it.
Generally they refused a blood transfusion. They were talking about the basis of that doctrine.
But it's implicit, though, isn't it, that they were praying? Refusing a blood transfusion is because it would interfere with their prayers. Isn't it implicit that they were praying when they were...
Well, Your Honor, it may well be. But what the issue is in this case is not prayer or not prayer. The issue is that the employee refused a medical procedure or medical treatment.
Yeah, I'm going under sub 9, though. Not
yes, Your Honor, but I would submit that what we are dealing with here, even if they prayed, what was the cause of the employee's death, and that is undisputed, is his refusal to accept a blood transfusion. That was a refusal of medical treatment.
But sub 9 seems to excuse or make reasonable the refusal to...
Yes, Your Honor, but if you read sub 9 in that way, and as the Eastern District did, essentially you would be violating the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, as well as provisions for...
And how do you get to that?
I will tell you, Your Honor. If you read, basically, sub 9 the way you do, to say, you know, any prayer... First of all, to say the employer can object to prayer, as I believe Judge Tideman said, would violate the First Amendment. So you've got a problem with that. But the other thing is...
But that did happen anyway, so that's irrelevant here.
Well, Your Honor, the record shows it does not show it happened. It may well have, but it's not in the record. But what I'm saying
is... The record shows he made no objection. They had testimony from numerous witnesses saying the employer did not object.
No,
there may have been other...
The employer did not object, no, Your Honor, to the employee's refusal to accept a blood transfusion based upon his religious belief as a Jehovah's Witness, because that's clearly his right under the First Amendment. However, if you read Section 140.5, as the Eastern District did, to basically provide an exception for any employee who refuses medical treatment, which is what this blood transfusion here was, based upon their religious beliefs, then you could, in a situation such as this, allow workers' compensation benefits to be granted to an employee who refuses, say, a blood transfusion based upon valid Jehovah's Witnesses beliefs, but deny it to an employee who refused it on secular grounds, say, an unreasonable fear of having the AIDS virus transmitted to him. What this does, in effect, is promote not the secular purpose that the Workers' Compensation Act was created for, to provide medical treatment and workers' compensation benefits to injured employees, but rather promotes a religious...
The Jehovah's Witnesses provide, you can't transfuse your own blood. A lot of times when people are going into operations, they'll take their own blood out so they don't take any chances, and if they need a transfusion, they'll have their own blood there to provide you can't take a transfusion of your own blood.
Well, Your Honor, that didn't happen in this case.
Okay,
this gentleman suffered a severe accident.
What we're dealing with here, though, is to a certain extent a public policy thing. One, workers' comp is administering. That's where the government action comes in, but it's an insurance program. The insurers are paying for it, so it falls in their pool of risk. At some point, the insurers have to look and say there's a certain percentage of people with Jehovah's Witnesses, and there'll be a certain number of claims, and that's part of the pool of risk, which is why we have an insurance program to deal with that, and they have to take into consideration legislation in dealing with this, and so it's a business decision by the insurance companies as to fitting this into their pool risk, so they cover these things if the legislature says they should cover it.
Well, Your Honor, the legislature says that an employee who is unreasonable in their treatment program does not either receive workers' compensation benefits at all, or their benefits are limited.
Go ahead.
And in this situation, the question is basically whether the employee and his dependents can subject the employer to greater workers' compensation liability than the employer would otherwise be liable for if the employee's religious beliefs would have allowed him to accept
but
a blood transfusion.
Counsel, isn't under all those cases, the question is what's reasonable? The legislature, and in the case of the fear of AIDS, you would look at that and decide on those facts, given the information they had, was it reasonable? Where it's a religious objection, you look at that and decide, is it reasonable? But the legislature has already made that balancing in the case of where you refuse treatment because of prayer and said if the employer does not object, that is, under the law, reasonable. They've made that balancing determination for us. It's not irrational, whatever the balance might be in other cases.
I respectfully disagree. First of all, Section 287.140.9 doesn't deal with a refusal of treatment at all. It deals with treatment by prayer. When a refusal of medical treatment is involved, such as it is at issue in this case, we deal with 140.5. To basically say...
But that would give the employer the veto over getting to get treatment by prayer if we interpreted 0.9 not to be dealing with in lieu of medical treatment. Then you're saying the employer has to approve any kind of prayer. That can't be what the legislature...
No, Your Honor, I am not saying that.
In lieu of medical treatment.
I am in lieu of medical treatment. But, again, I stress that is not what occurred in this case. It is clear from the record that the employee and his family used every possible form of medical treatment that the hospital and the treating physicians had, except for one. This is a refusal of medical treatment. And the cases basically indicate that what you look at in a situation such as this, yes, you consider the employee's religious beliefs as one factor to be considered along with the other evidence in the record. But you also consider things, as the Missouri courts consistently have under a 140.5 analysis, such as the seriousness of the injury, the risk and benefit of the proper treatment, and whether there are alternative treatments. On these issues, the medical evidence is clear and undisputed. The employee would have survived his work injuries with a blood transfusion. The risk of a blood transfusion, which were minimal, the medical risks were greatly outweighed by the benefit of a transfusion, which would have saved the employee's life. The medical evidence is clear that the employee would have lived if he had received a transfusion and died without it.
So you're saying that this decision can be made on Section 5, Subsection 5, without even reading into it Subsection 9?
Yes, Your Honor, and I'm saying it should be because there is, as I've said before, no evidence in the record based on the testimony of the employee's family that they did choose prayer, any kind of spiritual treatment to try to replace the employee's lost blood volume. In fact, they used alternative medical treatment. And I'm saying, given this record, that 140.5 is the applicable statute. But I am also saying, as I put forth in my brief, that this court does not even have to consider 140.5 to uphold the Industrial Commission's award.
You mean 0.9?
Yes, Your Honor.
Did your company continue payment of the disability that he would have suffered had he lived?
Yes, Your Honor. They considered continued payment for approximately a year thereafter.
On what basis?
Since I did not try the case, Your Honor, I do not know. However, anticipating a question from someone, the Trammell versus S&K Industries case says that the payment of workers' compensation benefits, or even in this case, medical expenses, does not constitute an admission on behalf of an employer or insurer that the benefits were paid for a compensable injury or that the claim would otherwise be compensable. Yes, they made a voluntary payment, but it did not constitute an admission.
You argue in your brief that this is a question of fact.
Yes,
and,
Your Honor.
And it, we are compelled to affirm if and give deference to the commission if there is a substantial evidentiary base to support it.
Oh, absolutely, Your Honor. This indeed is a question of fact. And the overwhelming weight of the competent substantial evidence in the record, including the undisputed medical evidence, supports the Industrial Commission's finding that the employee's refusal of a blood transfusion was unreasonable within the meaning of Section 140.5.
So your argument is that the commission could weigh the religious beliefs versus the necessity, you said, the seriousness of the injury and the benefit of the treatment?
Not so much a versus, Your Honor. I'm saying that the religious beliefs and the testimony regarding the religious beliefs were to be considered along with all of the other evidence in the record.
How is that not a weighing of religious beliefs versus the need for the treatment?
We submit, and in fact, I believe the Industrial Commission proceeded below with a presumption, so to speak, that those religious beliefs were valid and those religious beliefs were sincere. So there was no determination of their correction.
But what you're arguing, I think, is that they can recognize valid religious beliefs and simply find, based on other facts, those beliefs aren't reasonable.
Absolutely, Your Honor. That is my exact argument. And in fact, as counsel admitted, the basic evidence here in this case is undisputed and the medical evidence is uncontroverted. And that is exactly our argument, Your Honor, that despite the employee's religious beliefs, that given the undisputed evidence in this case, the employee's refusal of medical treatment was unreasonable. Unless there are any further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Are we heading in a slippery slope when we have government employees making decisions of whether or not someone's religious beliefs are reasonable or unreasonable?
It's an area that I would not like to venture into on a regular basis, Your Honor, but we're not making a determination as to the correctness of whether or not you're transubstantiated when the priest says the words. What we're making a determination is whether the belief itself is a reasonable and is a basis for forming human conduct. And what this court needs to understand is two other things. Number one, the Industrial Commission relied on Martin, from California, a case of most dubious authority, questioned extensively by the other appellate courts in California. And what the Industrial Commission decides to do in this case is it decides to shift the economic burden, whether they, quote, made a gift of medical services or not, whether that would be an admission against their interest, back onto a person because of the exercise of their religious beliefs. And, excuse me, that's what Martin says, and the federal Supreme Court has said, oh, no, we don't do that. That's improper. So what they're arguing,
anything based upon a religious belief is, as a matter of law, reasonable.
I didn't say that. I said that what these people had was that they had a religious belief, and they exercised that religious belief. And the belief was that whole blood transfusion would interfere with prayer, and prayer is necessary for salvation and healing. And the statute says that you can pray and heal. So what they wanted...
Can I ask the question? It was, I think, a friendly question, because Otherwise, you have to determine which religious beliefs are reasonable and which ones are not, which strikes me as being somewhat inappropriate for a workers' comp commission or indeed a court.
I tend to agree.
Because religious beliefs are not either reasonable or unreasonable. They are, in fact, irrational.
or matters of faith, Your Honor.
I mean, in a very profound sense, because they are based on faith.
I agree.
Not on facts.
But the only determination that the administrative law judge who got this correct was that it was a genuine belief. In other words, it wasn't being poisted as a sham.
But Judge Wolf, did that mean it's irrational? He meant you're not basing it on some kind of logical progression that you figured out, but on your
correct.
Faith,
on your
the
faith.
Bible, on whatever else you may
thanks
rest your beliefs on.
Thank you very much. Any other questions?
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you very much.